An IRS decision earlier this summer allows religious leaders to endorse political candidates from the pulpit without risking their tax-exempt status. What does this mean for congregations, and how are religious leaders responding? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss all this are Catholic Conference of Ohio Executive Director Brian Hickey, Truth and Destiny UCC Pastor Leslie Jones, and University of Cincinnati Professor of Political Science David Niven. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Great being
Happy
here.
To join you.
Thank you.
Brian, explain what's changed. What were the limitations on pastors and religious leaders before this IRS change, and what can they do now?
So my understanding is, previous to this IRS decision, churches were not allowed to endorse political candidates. But from our understanding, this new decision from the IRS, based on a recent court decision, is that churches will be allowed to discuss different candidates and political parties and groups and endorse or oppose candidates. But that is our understanding and awaiting any future guidance from the IRS.
It's a big change, David. Can you explain the rationale behind the decades-old rule that said religious leaders could not endorse candidates from the pulpit?
Well, the rule goes back to a legislative effort of Lyndon Johnson when he was in the U.S. Senate, and they were passing an IRS code. And basically, they wanted to make clear what a charitable or nonprofit entity was, what distinguishes it from any other kind of entity. And so the rule is not specific to churches, the Johnson Amendment, as it's called. It's not specific to churches. It's specific to any nonprofit, charitable, untaxed entity. And it said very explicitly they can't participate in or intervene in any campaign for or against a public candidate. And it was basically to prevent those untaxed, you know, sort of public interest dollars from sliding into politics.
And I know President Trump spoke out against that rule during his first term. David, was there ever any movement in Congress to change the law, at least where it pertains to religious organizations?
Well, that's the thing. You know, as is common in the Trump administration, they've more or less, you know, manifested the rule out of existence rather than actually passing new legislation. This law is still on the books. It's utterly explicit. In effect, the IRS is saying they're not going to enforce it as pertaining just to churches. They're creating a church carve-out and leaving the rule in place for every other kind of nonprofit entity.
And David, Brian referenced a lawsuit that led to this decision by the IRS. Can you tell us briefly about that lawsuit?
So basically, you know, a couple of churches in Texas sued for, you know, free speech rights to talk about candidates as they chose, endorse candidates as they chose. And that had been fought by previous administrations. The current administration just agreed and said, all right, you're right. Now, there's a difference, though, between joining the side of the church and pretending the law out of existence. So the law still is on the books. There's just no one to enforce it. So that's kind of the compromise position that we're in. You know, now folks on the other side could well, you know, launch lawsuits trying to undo, you know, this resolution.
Pastor Leslie, what do you think about this? Is this a change that you welcome? Will it change how you approach your, you know, preaching from the pulpit?
Well, you know, I'm a very justice-focused, you know, and justice-centered kind of pastor, but I this particular law and a change and a shift concerns me. For me personally, I will not be endorsing anyone from the pulpit. I don't think that's the appropriate place for me to, you know, probably do what is more around my personal convictions, and I don't think that the pulpit is the appropriate place for us to do that.
Why? Tell me a little bit more about why this concerns you, this change.
It concerns me because it's more around our current federal administration. I think that this administration could use this law, and basically, if pastors are endorsing candidates and it's not the candidates that the ruling party or the majority party, so to speak, is, you know, in favor of, that that could become a backlash on that pastor, that congregation, that church, maybe even that denomination. I think about, you know, even remarks that have been made, particularly at the National Cathedral, and the Episcopal, you know, bishop in a prayer prays for something that obviously all of us felt, you know, she should or was very much in line with what she's called to do and call it out. And, you know, the president was very upset. And while he could not, you know, find a way to really disrupt her her ministry and her life, you know, directly, I think that indirectly he really attempted to. And some of those remarks that came back, I think, would be backlash.
Pastor Leslie, you mentioned that you were very justice focused. Do you think any political action is appropriate from the pulpit?
I think that talking about issues as they align or do not align with a particular church's or denomination or even individuals. For me, you know, I pastor a very eclectic church, and so I try to, you know, stay within the parameters of, hey, this is what the scriptures teach us. These are some real values and principles that we get from our text. But, you know, I'm trying to give people skills and information so that they can make informed decisions. And one of the, you know, one of the big things that I myself rely on and I say to the people, there's two scriptures. One comes out of 1 Corinthians 6:12 and the other out of 1 Corinthians 10:23 that speaks to the fact that all things are lawful, right? But they're not always good for us. They're not always the right thing. So laws are there. And yes, these things can be lawful, but it does not mean that it is the best way or best thing for me as it aligns with my Christian values.
We're talking about an IRS policy change that allows religious leaders to endorse political candidates from the pulpit. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Brian, what does the Catholic Conference of Ohio make of this change? What guidance has your organization given priests and bishops in the church?
Essentially, no change in our practices, both for the Catholic Church in Ohio and throughout the United States. So even before this decision, the Catholic Church has not supported or endorsed or opposed any candidates. But similar to what the pastor said, we seek to focus attention on the moral and human dimensions of issues and the public policy discussions, issues of our day. So that will not change in the Catholic Church. We encourage our pastors and our priests to form Catholics in what we call Catholic social teaching on all sorts of issues that touch on the law and public policy. But we will not change our practice on candidate discussion or facilitate partisan political materials or anything related to that.
Brian, can you talk more about why that's been a long-held practice for the Catholic Church?
Yes. Well, I'll put it this way. The church seeks to form the consciences of Catholics in matters of public policy and of moral and social issues. But our teaching on issues are time-tested. They're enduring. They've been around and for many issues for 2,000 years. We know our teachings will stay the same on most public policy issues. But candidates change, political parties change. So we seek to form consciences and not inform on the parties or the candidates of the day.
This might be a stretch, but is it that the issues-based teaching, you find those in the Bible and you're not going to find candidates' names in the Bible? I mean, is that part of it?
Not necessarily. Candidates and parties change as well. There's Catholic teaching on various issues, especially in today's political climate, cross-partisan issues. So there's prudential decisions on who Catholics should vote for or what public parties to participate in. But again, our teachings are not changing and endure while parties and candidates change.
Do you want to add to that, Pastor?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's not so much that, you know, a candidate's name's not going to be there, but a candidate is campaigning and they have issues and they have things and policies, statements and positions that they are promoting, that this is what they're going to do. And so we know that our laws, our rules run by policy and the legislation. And so our lives are legislated by individuals. That individual who is the candidate, we have to see, do their policies align with the values that we have? And so I think that it becomes very dangerous because things change, people change. Situations. And when people, you know, get more information or they learn, you know, something, they may change. And that change may not always be in line with what your morals and values may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will continue our conversation after a short break. Later in the program, Claremont County's population has been growing at a fast clip. We'll discuss how the housing stock can keep up. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about an IRS policy change that allows religious leaders to endorse political candidates from the pulpit. My guests are Catholic Conference of Ohio Executive Director Brian Hickey, Truth and Destiny UCC Pastor Leslie Jones, and University of Cincinnati Professor of Political Science David Niven. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We got a call from Robbie right before the break. He couldn't stay on the line, but he told our producer that he thinks inviting churches to endorse candidates is opening a Pandora's box. Is that a concern you share, Pastor Leslie?
Definitely a concern that I share because, you know, I think we are also facing a time where we see a movement toward a theocratic government. And, you know, that is really based in, I think, you know, we have groups that want to move us toward, you know, the Bible being our constitution as well. And the one sole book that governs our lives. And that could be very dangerous. And I think I really think that this is part of that plan. By allowing these endorsements. And we've seen it when there was a large church in Texas that the majority of the members supported the current administration. And so they wanted to have a rally there. And the church said no, because they did not want to get entangled in that political fallout that could potentially happen. And so I think that if we start to see churches endorsing, we're going to see a lot more movement toward this theocracy that could be very dangerous, I think is very dangerous for America.
David, in terms of a Pandora's box, do you think this could open the door for unethical campaign practices?
Well, the door to ethical campaign practices has been open for a while. I think this might just kind of blow the wall out, really, is more what's going to happen. You know, so one aspect of this is it's an exemption for churches, not for any other kind of nonprofit. But there's no way for the IRS to police what's a church and what isn't. So any nonprofit can then, in effect, you know, adopt the notion that it's a church to be treated by the same rules. You know, there's also the Pandora's box aspect of this is law. This isn't a choice the IRS gets to make. It's the law that they enforce. And if the IRS is going to be operating under a pick and choose system that chooses laws to apply and laws not to apply, the capacity for abuse is just enormous. And then, of course, finally, you know, we already live in the Wild West of campaign spending, and there's ways to use and funnel money through, you know, super PACs to create anonymity and donations and for other, you know, sordid purposes. You know, this is just making that process that much wider and that much more accommodating.
David, you know, even before this change, there have been religious leaders who've endorsed candidates in their personal capacity, not on behalf of the church, but in a personal capacity. There have also been cases where candidates visit churches during their campaigns. Pastor Leslie's nodding her head, be real in agreement with that. And there was former city council member Jeff Pastor, who reportedly passed out checks from a foundation to churches when he was campaigning. David, what does the current law say about all those kinds of things?
The bottom line is there's been a tendency toward leniency, toward allowing churches and church leaders to express themselves and associate themselves, you know, with political figures and political causes. But that's a very different thing than, you know, directly campaigning for a candidate. And I mean, the bottom line is the IRS has been rather lenient. And that's part of the irony of this whole situation, that this is, you know, this is an expansion of, you know, of an accommodation that's already been substantial, as your question implies. And the last church to lose its nonprofit status for political activity was in 1992. So this doesn't happen every day. But the difference, of course, here is it's one thing to say you're lenient, and it's a very different thing to say there's going to be no rules at all.
Pastor Leslie, you ran for Cincinnati City Council, I believe, in 2017. How did you balance your campaign with your pastoral work? Was that a difficult balance to achieve?
I wouldn't say it wasn't difficult. I was very clear, and I had very clear lines of, you know, delineating between my pastoral responsibilities and my campaign responsibilities. We did not campaign over the pulpit. Yes, did everyone know that I was running for office? Yes. I was very clear also with my congregation, you know, that we our campaign rented space. And we offer at the market rate. We did not, and for me, it was a little, because I also live in a parsonage. And so there were things that we had to do that outside of there even, because that was, you know, the church. But it was really, again, we are already doing justice work. We have a justice ministry, and we continue to do that. And we kept the conversations within the congregation around that work. And if you wanted to work on the campaign, you had to go to the campaign office. But that didn't happen at church. And, you know, no funds came through. There was no fundraising. Yes, there were members of the congregation who held, you know, watch parties or whatever, you know, house parties and things like that. But I think there are lots of elected officials that are also pastors and active pastors and clergy. And it's a matter of, I think my faith does say to me that this is the kind of work I should do along with pastoring. So, and you know, I didn't have anyone coming after me. So I think we must have done it right.
There you go. Well, David, religious leaders have been deeply involved in issues on the ballot. We've talked about that a little bit, both locally in Cincinnati and statewide in Ohio. I mean, before the stadium sales tax was passed in 1996, I know some local religious leaders got on board to support it, which proponents of that tax felt like was very important. Can you talk to us about some of these examples and where they've maybe made a difference?
And I think the biggest consequential alliance between, you know, candidate, church, and outcome is probably the 2004 presidential campaign, where, you know, President George W. Bush, you know, very strategically advanced anti-gay marriage ballot questions in Ohio and several states across the nation, and then really worked in concert to reach you know, churchgoers with the message. And it wasn't endorsement in the pulpit, but it was, you know, the sharing of membership lists, and it was, you know, the handing out of flyers in church parking lots. It was, you know, very directly activating, you know, the church population. And so, you know, this is not to say that this is a dawn of you know, religion influencing political outcomes, religion influencing political outcomes as old as time. But this is, you know, this is saying that we've taken all, you know, kind of restraint off the system, and you no longer have to think about sort of the boundaries of propriety, because there's no boundaries and there's no propriety.
Brian, do you think religious endorsements have an impact on how people vote, even if it's, you know, not talking about candidates, but talking about issues to congregations?
I do, yes. When regarding issues, for example, as you referenced, churches can get involved in and educate and encourage voting on specific ballot issues, both to inform on a, for us, a Catholic perspective on the particular ballot issue, and to give an endorsement, yes or no, you should vote for this particular issue or not, based on the church's moral or social teaching. So I think that is important. I think it is important for the Catholic Church to be able to speak on these issues, to inform parishioners and Catholics on the church's perspective. And certainly some people might not like that, but I think the majority of Catholics want to hear what the church says, what the Pope, what bishops, what priests, their local priests, their local pastors have to say on these particular specific issues.
What do you think, Pastor Leslie?
I certainly 100% agree that, you know, I think people of faith do want to hear from their faith leaders, their faith community. But I think that we have to use the wisdom that we don't entangle ourselves, you know, more deeply into the political arena. I mean, I'm out here right now talking to candidates, and I've actually said, no, I'm not, you know, you can come to church, but I'm just not going to, we're not taking pictures, we're not doing any of that, because I think that that is what oftentimes people see. And I don't know how this happens in many other churches, but I know in the Black community, candidates beat our doors down. And especially if you are a pastor that is out in the community doing anything, they are calling, can I come to church? Can I talk? No, we're not talking, but you can come and you can wave your hand. and you can then, we'll host some coffee or whatever after church for you to talk to candidates, for the members to talk to candidates at that time. But we really have to stop the stuff that happens when they want to come into the church.
Rabbi Ari June wrote a commentary for the Inquirer, and he argued that this new rule or new enforcement policy, or lack of enforcement policy, I guess, could make politics more divisive and hurt religious organizations too. Brian, what do you think about that perspective?
From our perspective, I think I would agree that it would not be healthy, and we advise our parishes, priests and pastors, especially during election season, reminders on our guidelines, because we just don't think it's healthy to get involved in partisan politics. Ultimately, like I've said, we want to form consciences and have Catholics know about our teaching on issues, and from there they can make prudential decisions on who to vote for. But we encourage you to vote, register to vote. But yes, like I said, we don't think it's ultimately healthy to get involved in the partisan fights of our day.
Yeah. David, how do you think this will end up playing out? This IRS decision, as we've talked about, was the result of a lawsuit. Do you think there's potential for more legal action as a result of all this?
Well, there's certainly potential for legal action, both pushing in the same direction and pushing in the diametrically opposed action. I mean, the easiest sort of path to resolving this would be for Congress to change the rule. If the administration and Republicans in Congress don't want this to be a rule, they could erase it, and it would no longer be a law, and we wouldn't have a debate about it. they don't tend to do that. They tend to just kind of, you know, executive order and wish these inconveniences away. So I think what we're going to get is an unresolved kind of back and forth for the next few years, and then in all likelihood, a future administration that goes right back to enforcing the rule.
Well, I've been talking with Catholic Conference of Ohio Executive Director Brian Hickey, Truth and Destiny UCC Pastor Leslie Jones, and University of Cincinnati Professor of Political Science David Niven. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Up next, Claremont County's population has been growing at a fast clip. We'll discuss how the housing stock can keep up. This is Cincinnati Edition.